I was just sat there thinking of many people that would, it's been described up here before, but it would be like a little crumb to many. But it's, we are so blessed. Just for the Lord's life amongst us, speaking through the various things, the water being poured out in a jug. It's a wonderful picture, isn't it? My kind of subject and the thoughts that have been going around my mind recently have been, well, lots of it has been university and studying, so I'm just putting a disclaimer out there. But I've been thinking about the will of God, and it ties in, the Lord's so gracious, but it ties in with what's been said this morning, the different things that people have shared. And I was talking with the young people back in October, and it was that the subject was being under construction. We're all under construction. If you heard that this morning, we are under construction. I've been thinking about the potter's house, and I'm going to speak from the potter's house in Jeremiah. But really, what's been on my heart is knowing God's will in your life. Do you know God's will in your life today? I'm going to pause now and let you think on that. Are you in God's will today? I've been really challenged by this in a way that we can become experts at knowing God's will for other people's lives. I don't mean to say that to offend, but there is just an element of truth that we can become experts at knowing what so-and-so should be doing. In actual fact, the Lord wants your complete attention. And Andrew mentioned about a cog. I'm going to talk about the potter's wheel. That, I'm sure, has some mechanical thing of a cog. And I just want to talk about being in his will. It's a place that it's beautiful. You find rest. Oh, you find peace. I just want to shut my eyes and just, it's the best place that you can be. It's the place that this morning, if you're not on that wheel, you can come on that wheel this morning. It's the place to be. It's to be in his will. And it's a sentence that we can kind of band around a little bit in our circles. Is, oh, you need to be in the centre of God's will. I think there's only one place, and that's God's will. If you're off centre, I don't know if you're actually in his will. Do you know what I mean? There is no left, there's no right. It's just him. It's being on that wheel with him. That's my introduction. I'm going to talk about the weeping prophet. That gives me hope. Because, not the prophet bit, please, forget that. But the weeping bit. But I was sat there, and when I sing about Jesus, oh, it's enough for me. It is enough for me this morning just to sing about Jesus. Some of the words that we've sung, you know, it's incredible. You can go and search out a church for everything and everyone and all the lights, the smoke machines, the new songs, all the... It's Jesus, just to sing of what he's done for us. Oh, it's amazing. Are you caught up in it? I'm so caught up in it. You could say I'm a bit emotional, but actual fact, it's just the knowledge of what he's done, the lengths, the breadth of what he's done for us in Jesus Christ is incredible. Oh, it takes my grumblings away, and I have a few because Liverpool aren't doing very well. If you have a Bible, just turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 18. This man, Jeremiah, I can understand why he's described as the weeping prophet. He had like a 40-year ministry, and it was basically he was going to be speaking to a people that just would not hear him. Imagine being told out here that whatever you say, they're probably not going to hear you. They're probably going to be asleep. Now, just having a little look around, I was in a lecture last week, and the lecturer was talking about the tongue of all... the tongue, cheeks, mouth. I'm in dentistry. And next to me was a guy, I think, that he travelled up from London, and he'd fallen asleep in the lecture. So the lecturer looked at me and said, "Give him a nudge, will you?" So I gave him a nudge, and he woke up. I was praying. And everyone in the class was just in hysterics, but the lecturer was a little bit less. But anyway, so if you see anyone this morning, just give them a nice little nudge. Anyway, the weeping prophet, Jeremiah, what a guy. Basically, he was going to have to go and speak a message to a people that had basically a stiff neck. They were going to go their own way. Basically, had ears that were totally blocked by choice. Basically, they were living in their own ways, not in God's way. And he was commissioned in his youth. Don't be put off by your youth. The incredible thing is, he was called in the womb. It says, read the early chapters. He wasn't just kind of called as a 17-year-old, and he wasn't a great communicator, by the way. He was very nervous, just read little bits about his, as much you can get from scripture. He was nervous, he wasn't a great communicator. But he was called in the womb. That's an incredible thing, isn't it? God calls not just when we're feeling on the top of a mountain and we're doing really well. He calls us before that. That's amazing. Jeremiah in the womb. And at the time, I mean, the nation, I just call it God's people, they were hideous. If you read through the Old Testament, oh, I can see how God's heart breaks. Think about a nation that we're in now. You can compare things back then, but God's heart breaks. This was a country, a people that had totally turned their back, and they had stiffened their neck to hear him and to do his ways. And I've just picked out a couple sins that I think are actually really important in just a context of the time. You don't need to turn there. Just keep in Jeremiah 18. Such a fascinating book, Jeremiah. It's not easy to read. It is full of doom and gloom. But there's hope. It's like the undercurrent, the underbelly. There's a hope there, which is an incredible thing, which actually helps you read. Just a little tip. Let me just say these two things which I think are important. As I was reading through Jeremiah, these just stood out to me. These couple sins that God just, well, he hates sin. But a couple things here. This is a prophecy. It says, "Be astonished, O heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be very desolate, says the Lord, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me." That's the first one. They have forsaken me. The next one, the fountain of living waters. They have forsaken the fountain of living waters. And this is the next one. They have hewn themselves cisterns. Broken cisterns that can hold no water. Did you hear the thing earlier on from Gillian? The vessel, that lovely joy in just pouring out the water. To pour out the water you need to be a vessel. And not a broken one. Here's another one. Jeremiah chapter 6, you don't need to turn there. "Thus says the Lord, stand in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths where the good way is, and walk in it. Then you will find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. Also I set a watchman over you, saying, listen to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not listen." You know, there's two things there straight away. That people are given this instruction, but they determined in their hearts that they wouldn't. Go with me into chapter 18. Here's the portion. I love anything that's like a picture. Pictures just speak to me. I don't know if anyone watched it, but on the BBC, I watched the series of the Great British, not the Bake Off. Throwdown. The Throwdown. Brilliant. Pottery. I'm recommending it. Some doesn't look like you've watched it. No? Okay. Maybe it's the BBC. But anyway, it's just a fascinating... It's always done in a... it's like in a competition format. Everything the world does now is competition format. Why is that? It's wrong. Well, in some ways, but anyway. But it's these potters. They're given a lump of clay. Clay's got to be centered, smack down on the wheel. It must go in the middle. And this gave me this illustration of us being a lump of clay. And I said to the young people in the tent out there when the wind was going and it felt like the marquee was going to take off, I said, basically, you've got to become a lump of clay. If you want God to work with you, you've got to turn from things that you're doing and you've got to become a lump of clay. Does that sound glamorous? No, but it's true. Chapter 18, the word came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, arise and go to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was making something at the wheel. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hands of the potter. So he made it again into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter, says the Lord? Look, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. And I'll just pause there. One of the things that's really just caught me about being in the will of God is that we must allow the potter to do his work. One of the things that spoke to him was about the marred clay. And when I've been watching videos of the potter doing his work, and one of the things, the important things, it's got to be centred in the middle of the wheel. And I was trying to find, I was going to show a clip of someone that is not centred in the potter, and basically when the wheel starts going round, man, there is clay everywhere, there's a mess and all sorts. But in actual fact, once it's centred, then the hands come in, and I thought about, he's got wonderful, gentle hands, you know. Comes in, just the ingredient of water comes in. You can put it, I was thinking, the wonderful spirit coming in. And then he's got his hands, they're linked in like this, they're crossed. He uses the palms of his hands just to slowly work with the clay. But the clay that was on there was marred. And someone just gave a little description of it. It just wouldn't go with him. It wouldn't be allowed. It wasn't pliable. And we can be like that. Oh, thinking back to my late teens, place where I just wasn't pliable with God. And what he wants is a clay, a lump, you, me, just to be that thing that's just so pliable. Let me just read you this. Isaiah says this, woe to those who quarrel with their maker. Those who are nothing but potsherds among the potsherds on the ground. Does the clay say to the potter, what are you making? Does your work say, the potter has no hands? There's this grumble from even the clay saying, what are you making, God? Why do I have to go through this at the moment? This isn't your will. Surely it must be just a total... nothing goes wrong when you're in the will of God. No hardship. No valley time. No place of not knowing what is ahead. The Lord's saying he is in control. He'll take us through the place of hardship. He'll take us in that dark valley. And it's in that place there that he fashions us. Another word for potter is someone that fashions something. It's there that he wants us. He wants us, and I believe, I know it's been said this morning, but we have a choice. We seriously have a choice whether we allow the potter to have his way in our lives or not. The clay finds its highest purpose when it remains pliable in the hands of the potter. So our lives fulfill the highest purpose when we let our potter have his way in us. Our ruin was complete, but our redemption is even more complete. We were utterly marred. We are made completely new in Christ. We were utterly lost. We are saved through him to the uttermost. Salvation is not a patching up of the old man. It is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. That's amazing, isn't it? I heard a conversation just last year, and we were just talking about personalities. We all have different personalities. Sometimes your family can be known as having like a little personality, a distinct kind of, which is great. Our family on my mum's side was it had a notorious temper. My mum's not here, so I can say it. But there was a certain uncle and someone else who had a bit of a fiery temper, and they had a bit of ginger in their beard, which they reckon was a sign of having a bit of a... In the light, there is ginger there, actually. But actually, in actual fact, when we're changed, he changes the complete thing. And in a conversation I had with these another person last year, I was basically saying that the worst thing is that we can roll out, we can say this phrase, oh, well, that's just in my personality. And you've just done something to offend someone. Oh, that's just in my personality. It's my makeup. It's my... Jesus completely changes, and then he does this work of progression where we're becoming more like him. I know this is very simple, I know. If you're looking for a big exposition on that, then it's not here. But he wants us to keep changing more and more, not hold on to the temper that I used to have back in the day. He wants to completely change that. And the only thing I can think of, if you suffered from your bad temper, he'll make you more peaceable. He'll make you more sweet. Isn't it amazing that when you have not seen someone for so many years and then they come back, you see them and you think, wow, what a change. It could have been one of the young people in your Sunday school group. And I'm thinking of two people now. Oh, in particular. Lord, get into their lives. But I'm thinking of people that you come back years later and you think, wow, he's so sweet. It's Jesus. He's done that complete change. That person has been that clay on that wheel. God's amazing, gracious hands with the water has been there, and he's shaped them, fashioned them how he wants to. I had a question here. Well, I wrote these words down, sorry. I'm finding that I have to. I think it's because of doing work at college that I'm liking just writing things down, and then I can remember them a bit more. Let's hope it's just that. Will you allow yourself to be fashioned by the Master, a lump of clay which isn't marred? Or will it be a lump of clay, unwilling, unmoved, rejecting the hands of the grace of our Lord? God's purpose is to show his sovereignty and poses the question to man, who are we to question his ways? We must be willing to place and position ourselves for the potter and allow him to work in us for his pleasure, a vessel of mercy, not of wrath. The righteousness of God accepted by the believer is an inward experience which must have an outward expression. Jesus wants us here as a group, as a people, as believers, as a body, to basically have his life in us that we could express it. Out. Out. Colleagues. Family members. Isn't that amazing? But he first has to have us as a lump. It's not a great sales pitch, is it? But the amazing thing is we can come marred. The main thing is that we just come and place ourselves there. Paul refers to us in 2 Corinthians as jars of clay. Amazing, isn't it? Just turn with me to Romans chapter 12. These are great verses. Romans chapter 12, start at verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to the world, to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amazing verses there. Something there that really caught me. Don't be conformed. What does that mean? I had to write it down. It's the act in accordance or harmony. It's the act to accord with the prevailing standards. And I'm thinking of this world now. Its standards, its attitudes, the practices of society or a group. To be or become similar in form, nature or character. If ever the church is under attack now, it's on these things, I believe. It's that we will conform to the things of the world. I read something on the Church of England, I think. It's something that they are tackling now on issues of gender. I could list them all through. What is happening is the voice of the group is calling for change. And I was just thinking along the lines, just in scripture, of it was the people. That when you remember Jesus was with Pilate, wasn't he? And Pilate offered over to the people and they were saying, crucify him, wasn't it? Remember, the people had their voice then. Then I was thinking about the time with the kings in the Old Testament. I think it was around Saul time. The people wanted a king. It was the judges before, wasn't it? It was the people. These days, it's the people that are just wanting this kind of change. They're wanting... I don't know if I'm explaining myself right, but is that? Do you get that? It's the people's voice. Is it the right voice? I don't believe it is. As Christians, we must become spiritual meteorologists. We must become sensitive to the spiritual atmosphere around us and able to recognise how we are being influenced and whether that influence is godly or ungodly. And I read the message because it helps me understand the very tricky bits there. He says it like this. Romans 12 verse 2, the first section. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it even without thinking. Isn't that true? I've got a clip here on my phone. You may think technology is not a great thing, but hey ho. I'm not sure if you've heard of this before. The Sunday Assembly. Has anyone heard of this? I saw it on the BBC website. Basically, it's doing church on a Sunday without God. Everything in the format is the same. Isn't that a scary thing? So far, there are 35 congregations. I won't mention the guy's name, because I might get in trouble, will I? Yeah, I'll leave. Be aware of it, though. And I watched it. I watched the clips of it. Leeds, it was in Leeds, Bristol, and it will grow. Everything was the same. The songs they were singing, I think it was like a Beatles song. It made me sort of angry. Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, God must weep. What are people doing? Collection box went round. songs were just of a human nature. It was a stand-up comedian in a church building. So they infiltrate, they'll get church buildings and they'll do their, oh, the Lord's heart must break. But it must make us, in some ways, stay as that lump of clay. Guard the things that he wants us to guard. This thing, the Bible, incredible guidebook. It's living, it's alive. Get thrown into it amongst your study. Worship, sing together. We have forgetful minds. I was thinking the other day, how come we've sung songs that I've been singing since I was 4 years old in church? Yes, we do have new songs. But why is it each week we sing together? Sometimes I think we forget things in a way. It's just that constant reminder of Jesus each week, singing about him, loving him. Why does the Bible say, come and join together? Don't neglect the meetings together. Because this morning, someone's just said something that's spoken to me. If we had no God and we met here this morning, what an empty place. What an empty place. I trust you go away full, even if you're in the darkest time. Precious Lord, we must be aware of the atmosphere and the things that are on the media is of a competitive nature. It's reality TV, it's everything about seeing someone fail and someone win. The story about the potter is God's so gracious. He takes the marred clay and makes something. Then it doesn't run with him. And then he remakes it into something that he wants to make. Precious Lord. More than just telling us not to conform to the pattern of the world, this verse here, it says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And the word for that is metamorpho, which... that'll grab some people. It's that change, isn't it? We are commanded to be transformed. It's not an option for Christians. I love that. It is not an option. It's a command. Don't hold on to the things. Oh, well, my personality is, I've always suffered from doing that kind of thing. Let the Lord, with the clay, change that. Oh. It seems to be part of the atmosphere of our age that if a person has a particular personality and does not want to change, he or she says, that's just the way I am. Well, just the way our old nature is. It's not good enough for God. Sorry if this is a bit strong, but it's great though, isn't it? I'm saying it to myself. Do we know better than God? Is doing things our way really going to make us more blessed than if we believed God and worked to be like Christ? God commands us to transform. And the good news is that we can. And our lives will be more blessed for it. Amazing. Excuse me just for one moment. Jesus says this. Jesus says, my food is to do the will of my Father. It's very much a daily thing. Should be part of our diet. Just to know his will in our lives. Just turn with me. Into Ephesians, chapter 1. Now, thinking about the will of God, when I was thinking about the will of God, I actually thought about a will. You know, what happens when someone passes away? There's a will. And I was just thinking about the will of God in our lives, what he has for us. And if you read Ephesians, it's an incredible book for the Lord saying there is an inheritance if you're in Christ. And it's just amazing. I may have done this before, but I know some people that if you're feeling a little bit low, you read the Psalms, people would say, but if you're feeling a little bit low, can I just put one in there? Ephesians. Oh, just amazing. For now, for what's to come, if you're that lump of clay. Let me just read these verses. Ephesians chapter 1. Let's start at verse 5. Having predestined us to adoption, 1. Sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. In him we have redemption through the blood, forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound towards us in all wisdom and prudence. Having made known to us the mystery of his will is not a mystery now. That's an incredible thing. It's been made known to us. Christ can live in us. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on the earth in him. And I know I was thinking about the things in heaven and on earth, and I thought about, there's a verse, you'll have to help me out here. There's a verse, I think it's in John, about Jesus doing the will of the Father as what's in heaven as on the earth. And then I thought about the earth. Sorry, go with me on this, okay? Stay with me. Nudge anyone that's going. And I thought about the clay from the earth. Do you remember in Genesis? God got the clay, wasn't it? The earthy, and Adam, I think, means his name is earthy, red earthy kind of thing. Gets that clay, and from that he breathes into it, into the nostrils, and makes something out of amazing. Then there's the thing of the clay on the wheel. And then, what did we just read then? Oh no, have I lost my track? I have. I was thinking about the vessel of wrath and the vessel of mercy. He gets the clay from the ground, gets it on the wheel, and makes us to a vessel of mercy, fashioned by the hand of God. Incredible. Isn't that wonderful? I got a bit more excited with the young people. Probably more just with the actual subject of being clay onto wheel. Do you know what I mean? So, sorry young people if I'm a bit more serious now. But what an inheritance we have in him. What a perfect will he has for us. Precious Lord. Vessels of wrath or vessels of mercy. What's the choice? Matthew 7 talks about he who does the will of God. Let me just read you this. This is my daily reading when I was actually just going through this. And Lindsay mentioned from, is it My Utmost for His Highest? Was it from your? My daily reading was from that. This is quite a section, but just stay with me. It really helped me. Is that okay? If you're going to be used by God, he will take you through a number of experiences that are not meant for you personally at all. They are designed to make you useful in his hands and to enable you to understand what takes place in the lives of others. Because of this process, you will never be surprised by what comes your way. You say, oh, I can't deal with that person. Why can't you? God gave you sufficient opportunities to learn from him about that problem, but you turned away, not heeding the lesson, because it seemed foolish to spend your time that way. The sufferings of Christ were not those of ordinary people. He suffered according to the will of God. It says that in 1 Peter. Having a different point of view of suffering from ours, it is only through our relationship with Jesus Christ that we can understand what God is after in his dealings with us. When it comes to suffering, it is part of our Christian culture to want to know God's purpose beforehand. In the history of the Christian church, the tendency has been to avoid being identified with the sufferings of Jesus Christ. People have sought to carry out God's orders through a shortcut of their own. God's ways is always the way of suffering, the way of the long road home. Amazing truth. You know, I read that just before I was going to have an exam at university. And in my own small little world, I was going through a bit of a... I need to pass this. I need to get through. You know, everyone will face something where you're feeling this squeezing. Uncertainty. And one thing I thought about was that I must look at the long road. It's that nearly all of Jesus' work, his life, his characteristics was of just the wonderful suffering servant. But his home was in heaven with God. We've heard about it. Richard said. Remember in Genesis it says that we were created in us. It was us, the plural, wasn't it? Jesus, the Spirit and God. And I just think that when we are walking through something and it's hard, there's a hardship there, what helps me through is this thing of, I'm going to be with him. Does that sound quite dramatic? But sometimes it's the thing that just gets me I'm going to be with him. And I had a clinical exam the other day, and before I went down for this exam, I said, just a simple prayer. I said, Lord, Holy Spirit, would you just be with me? Just in this exam? And the danger is that we say that prayer usually when we're a little bit squeezed, not sure what's going to happen with. And then after it's happened, you forget to say, Lord, thank you. We heard it earlier on, someone prayed, thank you, Lord. What he wants in a relationship is not just this thing of, I'm going to mould and make you and then let you go off. He wants the constant communication. And on our part, it should be, Lord, thank you. I said, I thanked him for reminding me to thank him about getting through an exam. Does that make sense? I said, Lord, thank you. I felt you. I knew you as you were just there with me. The other thing is he helps us with preparation. I can't just turn up to an exam not preparing. God's in the preparation for things. He wants us to work hard at things. I sometimes think we forget that. It's all, well, Lord, I'm just going to take a seat back here and we'll just let you. He's interested in our workings, the pencil things we do in our jotter, the notes that we make on things. He's interested in that. In the sporting realm, he's interested in the training side of things. He's in that. All the preparation, I'm thinking about the passion. We're all. He's interested in the workings of it, in the shoulder to shoulder, sometimes the kind of feeling deflated, and then you're up again. And then he's in that. Jesus, he's over it. He is over it and he's in it. Wonderful. And he wants the same in our lives. Precious Lord. I think I sound a bit like a machine gun. Sorry, are you with me still? It's hot in here, isn't it? We sing that chorus. You are the potter, I am the clay. Mould me and make me. This is what... And then it says, change my heart, O Lord, make it ever new, isn't it? And as I've been reading through Jeremiah, and particularly this bit with the potter, I've thought this thing of, by singing those words, and I'm not criticising the words of, change my heart, O Lord, make it ever, he wants and gives grace for us to make a conscious decision that we would change some of the things that we're doing. Do you get where I'm coming from? There's this meeting. There's no movement if you don't move. Simple as that. That's the lyrics of a Christian band once. There's no movement if you don't move. There's a thing, and if you read through all of Jeremiah, what God wanted was a response from people. And it was in a response, in a direction to him. And he always said to the people of God, if you relent from doing the things that you do and come to me, I will just plant. He said he will destroy things, he'll plant, but he will do what he wants to do. But the thing is, he gives us energy to actually say, here I am, Lord. Isn't that wonderful? I don't want to conform to this world. One thing that I realised, one of my key points was that we can look at the will of God, checking the time, we can look at the will of God and we narrow the will of God down to the things that we've got all lined up in what we've got to do. Like our ambitions, we've got to do this, we've got to do that, and we work out our will. In actual fact, when I read about this, the will of God is that we don't conform to the world. He does like a little list of things that we shouldn't do. I'm blinkered sometimes. Is it right that I do this? Is it right? God's saying in his word here, don't be like the world. Be holy. Be clean. Be separate from that thing that's going on. That's what the church needs, I believe, the body. One of the biggest dangers which I've seen, I think I read an article in the Church of England, is that there's this huge pressure on the Church of England, I'm sure other churches, is that it would be conformed, it would be diluted into something that I don't believe is pure of God. Oh, it's worrying, but God is in control. He will want his body, his church, to be as clay, not marred, but just allow his hands to work in us. Precious Lord, he's wonderful, isn't he? I want to be in his will. You know that we can often, if someone comes to you for advice, we can often say the words to them, oh, you just need to find the will of God in it. One good thing is that you could do is actually say, well, these actually are the practical things in which you could find the will of God. It's to read this. Read it. Meditate on it. Pray. Prayer is an incredible thing of just finding the will of God. And the more I chat to people that have just various struggles in their life, I'm almost thinking, as the prescription is almost just to do the very simple things, but just maybe do more of them. Read this. Pray more. The other thing is worship. I'm always undone by worship. Incredibly undone. In a good way. Softened. Melted. Any ambitions disappear when I just sing about Jesus. Pray, worship, read. That's how you'll find the will of God. Present yourself. Position yourself to God as a lump of clay. That's my sales pitch. But it's a wonderful truth. Are you in the will of God this morning? Our time is running. Can I just pray? Is that okay? Let's just pray. Precious Lord. Lord, we thank you for the potter's house. Thank you that there is a place that we can come this morning in our hearts, Lord, and position ourselves. Lord, here we are, Lord. Lord, if there's hearts in the room this morning that have never realised that the Lord just wants to, by his gracious hands, wants to mould and make us Lord, I pray that they can do that this morning. Maybe the vessel has become old and tired, cracked. Lord Jesus, you've got the hands that can remould things, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that the opportunity, the access to the potter's house is always open, Lord. Lord, we as a body here, Lord, we yield ourselves to you, that you would mould us again. We would know the perfect will of God. The will that even goes into the very hardships of life, but yet we still know this is your wonderful will. That you're with us. You travel through things with us, Lord Jesus. We're never left abandoned, Lord. Lord, we love you this morning. Thank you, Lord, for all those that have shared. Thank you for the body here. Lord, equip us, Lord, to go out and be these cisterns, these vessels, Lord Jesus, full of water, Lord. Lord, ready to be poured out into circumstances, Lord. For anyone that has to make that choice and decision, even maybe this morning, that they want to be that lump of clay, Lord. Lord, I'm thinking of someone in particular. Lord, that somewhere in his capacity, in his mind, he would present himself, Lord, that you would work in his life. Lord, in such a dark place, Lord, you can take this person, Lord, and make ever new. Lord, we all know someone, maybe in our family, Lord, that, Lord, we just want the potter to have his way. Oh, Lord, quicken our prayers, Lord Jesus, for those that don't know you. Precious Lord. Amen, Lord.